What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that.
They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
All right, here we go live from Chiefs training camp. It is the final day for us up here. Tomorrow is a early short practice as it's Military Appreciation Day. So practice will be over before we even get on the air tomorrow. So this
Correct.
Is our last show of 2025 at camp, and it is a gorgeous day. It's like it's a heck of a way to end it, I must say. It's a heck of a way to end it.
Can't complain about this weather in St. Joe.
Yeah.
We've had nicer days up here, but this is pretty close to the nicer ones.
Yeah, I mean, it feels great. It's a little cloudy. It's 77 degrees. I'll go ahead and take that one. So we, a little bit later on in the show, will be joined by J.J. Piccolo, the Royals general manager. We'll mix in some baseball throughout the show today. It's been a couple weeks since we talked with J.J., obviously. We'll discuss the urgency that this team has to be playing with at this point in time, knowing the spot that they are in, knowing how many games are left. So JJ is going to join us in about 30 minutes. We'll have Nate Taylor join us after practice today. And we are eliminating two players from Camp Darling Ooh. Island today at 11 o'clock. It's going to be a tough decision today.
Done. Well, you know, and honestly, they can always get back on the island. Same rule apply, although some of the guys have gotten kicked off. Jake Brittingstool's ass not getting back on the island.
He's going to be on IR all year or get cut. One of the
huge mistake. Year. Huge mistake drafting that guy. I thought for sure he was going to be a hot name, right? No, not so much for Jake Brittingstool. But, yeah, it's been the same guys who have been missing. So no Hollywood Brown, no Brittingstool, no Driscoll, and then Jalen Watson, obviously the addition with the concussion that Andy had mentioned. At this point, Hollywood Brown is not going to be a participant in training camp or preseason at all. My hope is that I still think in the next, I'd like 9 to 10 days, I'd like to see him at least at practice gold. I'd like to see him getting a sweat in. This whole game shape, training camp prepares you for this, blah, blah, blah. And there's part of him that I think there's part of him that probably comes into a situation like this and realizes that they run it a little bit harder and he wants to protect his body because there is still a big paycheck for him somewhere, or a good-sized paycheck, right, for him somewhere. If he can stay healthy and produce for this team, so he wants to make sure he's healthy and produce for this team. So they got to shelve him until week one of the regular season in an effort to make sure they have a wide receiver to throw to when Rashee Rice is gone. That's fine. But it does mean I am already worried about his ability to get through those 6 weeks, let's say, that Rashee Rice is gone.
Yeah.
Is he capable of doing that? He couldn't even get through camp.
Yeah, I understand the worry, the concern. It's still, to me, from day one with this has been, I just need him there week one. I don't care what it takes to get him there to week one. It means putting him in bubble wrap. I mean, heck, before he even got hurt at camp, we had a discussion. Once we knew Rice was likely to get suspended by week one, I didn't want to see Hollywood Brown in a game. Obviously, didn't want him getting hurt in a training camp practice either. So, yeah, I understand the worry. It's just, to me, if we find out that the week of Brazil game and against the Chargers, the week before, he's out there at Arrowhead or in the press facility outside of Arrowhead, then we're good. And then, yes, you hope that he can stay healthy at minimum, for the duration of whatever that suspension looks like for Rice.
I will say, though, if, like, he gets through 2 weeks of the regular season, then misses the next two, I'm going to start talking about, like, Hunter Harvey. Like, I'm done discussing you if you can't be on the football field.
Yeah.
Because there is a portion of, like, that will exist eventually. I'm not saying it does now, but it does exist eventually where it's like, you've been here multiple years and I haven't seen you play. And so at some point, you will kick that up. But you know what? For now, I don't care. He's not practicing.
It really is not. It becomes worrisome in 3 weeks. That's kind of where I'm at. And the importance of why in these preseason games, I don't think we're going to see Xavier Worthy much at all, because same story. You got to make sure he's available. Mm-hmm. He can't have anything come up. All of a sudden on Friday night in Seattle, he has a small injury or something, and then all of a sudden he's in doubt. So they got to be careful at the wide receiver spot. Your depth can get tested pretty quick when you have a player that we all know eventually is going to miss some time. I'm talking about Rashee Rice.
This is our last day up at training camp, so we'll make a simple quote. You and I, we've been up here for a huge chunk of Chiefs training camp this year in St. Joe, and I was asking myself last night, and I was trying to think about it pretty simply, which is, what was my biggest takeaway from said camp, right? Like, what were the things that will stick with me as things I will continue to be like, yeah, it went back to that. And there were two, really, that stood out to me. One was, I think, the incredible work that Travis Kelce put in the offseason to once again be the kind of factor he has been in this offense, which is why I think he's back to being a 1,000-yard guy. And the offensive line getting settled so fast at left tackle that at least I can go into the season with some level of confidence. I can still have my reservations about what happened the last time I went into the season thinking they had solved left tackle, but these are higher draft pick, higher upside, and I think more glowing reports of Simmons' play so far. I'm having a hard time not thinking that those are the biggest takeaways I'll have from all of camp this year.
So I agree with you on the last one. I'm totally right there with you. I don't know how anybody that's been at any camp practice or covered the team
so far, one of the takeaways, yeah.
Josh Simmons firmly taking control of the left tackle job immediately. Being available was the first hurdle. Now we're not talking health. We are just talking about how effective is he going to be immediately. I saw some more comments yesterday from Patrick Mahomes. He was on with Kay Adams saying that he's got a chance to be the best left tackle in football. This guy, I think, is going to be in the real deal. I understand people are skeptical because of Kingsley last year. I just would once again say, to me, completely different player. We aren't talking about the questions around him being, is he raw? Is he developmental project? That was what we were saying with Kingsley. We all knew that. It was always about health, and right now it looks like the health question is behind us with Simmons. So that's the biggest story that finally, maybe they have finally found the franchise left tackle for Patrick Mahomes. That's a huge story. The other one for me would actually be the wide receiver room. We were discussing Hollywood Brown and stuff, but it's the fact that with Rice missing time, with Hollywood Brown's injury questions, Tyquan Thornton, for the first time, I don't know if he'll be our official camp darling this year or not, but for the first time, a name that people were mentioning all offseason might actually have a real impact. You know, in the past,
it might be a small one, but like a Justin Watson level impact.
Exactly. In the past, it was talk about Fortson and Ross, and these guys ended up with like 100 yards, okay? There's a chance Tyquan Thornton has a couple touchdowns in 275 to 350 because he's a deep threat down the field if Hollywood Brown misses time. If they need to work something in with Rice being out as well. So to me, it's that Tyquan Thornton wasn't on the bubble ever. From day one, he was firmly basically a guy that we all know making the roster. Now the question on the bubble is on the back end of the wide receiver room. It's with guys like Nico Remigio, Jason Brownlee, and whether or not those two are going to find a way on the roster, which one of those two. And Sky Moore, we didn't think he was making the team coming to camp, so I'm not going to act like we're surprised by the lack of from him here.
I do wish we had gotten out of camp and I would have felt better about the defensive line. Like, assured gold that they are going back to the defensive line from 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I'm not saying it can't be that, but I'm certainly not coming out of camp saying that, right? I'm not like, here we go, defensive line is back. No. I still have the normal faith I have in Chris Jones and George Karlaftis and a whole hell of a lot of unknowns. Can Mike Dana be the 5-sack guy from a couple of years ago? Can Gelati and Omar Norman Lott contribute? I'll find out eventually. I was kind of hoping, kind of like the offensive line, that would be one of my big takeaways from the camp, is that the defensive line can get it, and it's just not that. That's just like not where I am, where they are. I was, like I said, I was kind of hoping that would be a portion of the story. But I don't think, and I know that like we're going to talk about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce here in a minute, I do think there is something to, and I just read the entire, before the story, before the show started, I read Travis Kelce's GQ article.
Hey, yes, on the cover.
He is also on the cover of GQ, if he's not having a big enough week, I guess. It was announced that he was on the cover of that after, you know, all the Taylor stuff, which we'll talk about here in just a minute. But I do think, in that article, he cites what I think we all know, which is, in retrospect, he's saying the last 2 years, it's not that he wasn't working hard, but the work he put in the offseason wasn't up to what the standard he thinks it needed to be in order to be the other to be Travis Kelce. And this offseason, as we could probably see just based on the way he's moving and operating in training camp alone and the way he looks in these things, that he did take it very seriously this offseason. So if this is his last year, that man's coming to play for, like, the whole damn thing. And he is ready and prepared to do that once again. And unlike Hollywood Brown, the one thing I'll say about Travis Kelce is Travis Kelce's one of his best qualities is that man's nothing but available. I mean, he's the most available player in the NFL at his position, certainly. There are other good, you know, Sam Laporta's a good tight end. George Kittle's a good tight end. Those guys miss time. Like, Travis Kelce hasn't missed time in a decade, essentially. He missed that one game, and we were like, oh, my.
He missed the opener against the Lions a couple years ago. That was about it.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that.
And he was still back by week two.
Yeah, that was about it. And that was a weird knee bruise, like, within 2 days before the season started.
Yeah,
or something like that.
He hyperextended it or something, didn't he?
I think it was just a bone bruise.
Oh, that makes sense.
The worry was he hyperextended. I think it was just a serious bone bruise 2 days before that Thursday night kickoff game where they didn't have Kelce or Chris Jones, remember? And the Chiefs lost that football game.
Barely.
And they still went on to win the Super Bowl that year, so it all worked out. But but yes. By the way, we are at training camp, brought to you by Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you. Last night, there was quite some news. During the day, everybody, including this show, and I'm sure every single sports talk show in Kansas City at some point in time, was discussing what was going to happen with New Heights, because they sent out a teaser and the silhouette sure looked like Taylor Swift.
And so we said yesterday,
and so everybody's like, she's going on the show. And then we're like, is she unveiling a new album? Is she, like, are they getting engaged? What's going on in this thing? Last night around, 7 o'clock or so, they announced that she's coming on the podcast with a clip. This clip, by the way, teasing it.
So I wanted to show you something.
Okay. What do we got?
We got
a briefcase.
Yep.
Mint green with TS on it.
Yep.
What's in it?
This is my brand new album, The Life of a Showgirl.
TS-12!
Yeah.
So that was the clip about the album. We can get there in a second. There was another clip where they announced she was coming on the show.
Such a nice color on you.
Yes, I know. It's the color of your eyes, sweetie. That's why we match so well.
We're about to do a podcast.
So tomorrow night, Taylor Swift, who, like, never does podcasts, is going on New Heights with Jason and Travis. Obviously, they already recorded the episode, but we'll all get to watch it for the first time and listen to it for the first time. And then, yes, as you heard from the first clip, she also announced she's got a brand new album that's coming out, her 12th album. And she announced it on their podcast. That is going
12-12.
Cody, that is going to be one of the most downloaded podcasts and viewed YouTube videos ever. I'm not saying it's not going to break the YouTube record, because there's some big ones. Podcast, though, she's got a shot. They've got a shot.
I would honestly at this point be stunned if that is not the most listened to podcast episode of all time. And honestly, was this her idea? Whose idea was this? Because I don't think you as Travis can request that. You know she's working on an album. You know it's coming out soon. You guys are in a relationship. You're fully aware of the things that are taking place inside her music stuff. That's cool. But you can't just be like, yo, want to announce the album on my podcast for the first time ever that you show up on it as a guest? Because that is maybe the single biggest boost a podcast. And that podcast is already one of the most popular ones on the planet.
They got a $100 million deal.
But it's like, it's already one of the most popular ones on the planet. The fact that Taylor Swift is going to unveil the cover art for her brand new album and use their platform to help promote the fact that she has a brand new album as one of the most popular artists on the planet. My God, Travis's life is just
different. Yeah,
it's just different.
It's a hell of a life that he lives. But no, I was looking up just because I'm with you that there's a chance it could break a record, if not come
really
close.
Could.
If you were looking just on YouTube views, this is where I don't think there's any way they'll be number one, okay? I mean, like, there's some of these you'll listen and you'll be like, okay, there's no way they're breaking these, but how close can they get? Podcast-wise, they could do 90, you know, they could get to a number that matches some of these. But for YouTube, the most YouTube views right now, State Funeral of Queen Elizabeth, 4.1 billion, okay? It's not going to have 4.1 billion views, okay?
I don't think so.
Michael Jackson's memorial service had 2.5 billion views. It's not going there. The funeral of Princess Diana, 2.5 billion viewers as far as on the clip.
Sensing a theme.
The Live Aid concert from 1985, 1.9 billion viewers. CMG Spring Festival Gala, 1.1 $1.1 billion. State Funeral of John F. Kennedy, $300 million. Apollo 11 moon landing, $650 million. O.J. Simpson verdict, $150 million U.S. viewers. Wedding of Prince William and Kate Middleton, 122.
A lot of royal family stuff.
Super Bowl halftime show, LIX, from this past one. So this was Kendrick Lamar. Had $133 million.
Well,
so,
I mean, he did publicly call someone a pedophile, so that tracks.
I guess what I'm getting at is I don't know, think they're going to make the top 10 of all-time YouTube views. Podcasts are going to be in top five because that to me is way more achievable. You could get, you know, for example, Joe Rogan with Elon Musk had 69 million YouTube views. You can get to that number, I think. But that's, to me, the range. 50 to 80 million views is what I'll put it at.
I mean, that's crazy. I mean, that's just – it's –
If anybody has bad news to release tomorrow at 7 o'clock, so like if the NFL wants to announce Rasheed Rice's suspension, the Chiefs would love that.
You going to watch it live?
I don't know. Live, no. I'll watch it tomorrow.
Is it 7? I thought it was 6.
Is it 7 Eastern?
No, it might be 6. I don't know. I don't remember which.
Live, I don't know. No, I will watch it tomorrow night. I don't know if I'm like, oh my gosh, got to watch. I'll watch it tomorrow night.
Honestly, just having her on the podcast alone. They've been doing the podcast for a long time. They've been together for years now. She's never come on as a guest. People predicted other times she might come on. You're like, okay, I get it, right? You don't want to – but he's appeared on stage.
Yeah.
So, like, why can't she be a part of his work? And she chose – like, I wonder if they played this the long game anyway. She chose for the first appearance to let it be
genius.
Her
She's
releasing.
A very smart marketer.
Well, it's not just – it's like she could have announced it anywhere. And it would have been incredibly popular.
I know, but they're a thing, though.
But
so it's not like it's not just a solo thing anymore. They are
they're a power couple.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that's benefiting both of them.
Yeah, I mean, geez, it's just so crazy to me. When you see that stuff last night, you see all the Taylor Swift fans kind of losing their mind for it, you're like, okay, I'm sure it'll have a couple of hits on it. There's no doubt about that.
Oh.
She's a very popular
Did
artist.
You see last night now that you can just
My
go.
My daughter didn't ask to, like, order the album or anything.
The vinyl, so you can just go to the site now and pre-order it, no problem. But last night when it first dropped, if you went there was a 75-minute wait on the queue
to
pre-order the vinyl. Last night.
You got any big Taylor Swift fans in your life? Your sisters?
They haven't gone to a concert of hers, but they like Taylor Swift.
Okay.
I don't know. Honestly, though, like, other than the weird football dudes that freak out when she's on camera and get triggered for some weird reason, I don't know who doesn't acknowledge the talent of Taylor Swift and hasn't enjoyed a song or two of hers ever. I don't care who you are.
I mean,
I'm not saying you have to go nuts and have friendship bracelets on and go to concerts, but like
you can do that too.
Sure, but you're asking just who is fans. I'm just saying, like, in general, who's not somewhat of a fan of hers.
No, I mean, I think that there are probably people. There's people that are like, I don't understand in the normal fanfare stuff. I think that there's a lot of people probably laying in your category, which is like, yes, she has some popular songs, and if given a ticket, I would go to her show. But you're probably not also, making 400 friendship bracelets and doing that. Although, if she makes a new Eras tour, we had an idea on this show that I still think would be very,
good. She's got a new album. She's probably going to have a new world tour in within 5 years, don't you
think?
Okay,
great. Well, if we're still doing this show and you're still available, we're having a conversation about what it is.
We've talked about the idea on the
show. Yeah, I have. We wanted to. We approached it too late.
Can we get back to sports, please, Cody? Please, someone's very upset with you right now on the text line. Get back to sports, man. How dare you talk about anything other than sports for 4 minutes, you know, talking about, by the way, the tight end of the Kansas City Chiefs in his podcast is sports. But anyway.
I'll get back to that in a minute. I will not be peer pressured by the text line.
But no, Cody, you have to.
We approached it too late, but we had an idea where we would get a ticket, a plus one, to go with Alex Gold to a Taylor Swift concert, and all you had to do was show up in the parking lot to speed date him. So, like, a line of women, a line of people who would get 30 to 60 seconds to make their case for why they should go to the Taylor Swift concert with Alex, and then we would eventually choose a winner on the air, which I think would have been a lot of fun. I also think the line would have been
amount of people,
crazy.
The amount of people, that would have been quite the scene. Would have been quite the scene.
Going out here breaking hearts.
Oh, man, it would have been incredible.
I told Cody, though. Cody didn't understand, though. I
said
there has to be – there has to be an age range is what I tried to explain to Cody.
Well, yeah.
21 or older because you have to have contest rules.
It's got
to
be 21 or older, but also it's got – like
I don't think we're allowed legally
but that's
limit.
I'm saying.
I think a 90-year-old – you could say that you got a low chance, but I think you got to let the 90-year-old lady make her case.
Yeah, I think we would have some people doing some wild things in the quick 30-second speed date.
Doing what? Like creating a song?
Just
– great.
No,
this
I think there'd be
dream
I think there would be people trying to, like, flash the cameras. I think it could turn into a mess.
Oh, man.
You're out here assuming the worst in people, Cole. The, you know, the most,
for Taylor Swift tickets, people will do a lot of things.
He's at a lot of things. It's getting bleak in here.
Gold, I'm going to be honest, and I think Cody might agree with this as well as the text line. If a 90-year-old did show up, you have to take her. You have to take her to the concert.
I
don't think you have a choice.
I think you have a fair chance.
If a 90-year-old shows up and wants to go see Taylor Swift, you take the 90-year-old to go see Taylor Swift. You just do it.
We talked about this. Like, we talked about this, too, because, like, Alex was like, well, should only be women. I said, no, we can't discriminate based on sex, because I said, you got to think about this from this perspective. Going to a Taylor Swift concert, as, let's say, a single man made his case for why he should be your plus one, that's got
to
be one of the
better. I mean, spoiler, I'm not taking a dude with me to go to the Taylor Swift concert.
I just
got to
say, that has got to be one of the better places to be single, looking for someone on the planet.
Right, but why would I take another guy with me to a Taylor
Swift
concert?
He's a wingman for you. He's agreeing to wingman for you.
Yeah,
there's more. That's, instead of taking one person, you could take, there are many people around you who could be available, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that person could help out. I'm saying don't limit your options. That's
text line thinks Tony Dungy's listening to our show based on the text. That's probably true. That's a good call. Remember, Tony Dungy was very upset that the NFL has been promoting Taylor Swift.
I kind of forgot
very upset.
That. He's being a cranky old man. Fair enough. But we're up at training camp. We'll talk more Chiefs football here in a minute. We'll talk to Royals general manager J.J. Piccolo coming up in just a few minutes as well. But final day at training camp, which means final day from Cloudy with a Chance.
With your training camp forecast, I'm meteorologist Cloudy with a Chance, and it's going to be beautiful for the last day of training camp. Partly sunny with highs in the lower 80s. To be honest, I've had fun doing this for you fellas. Despite all the shots I took at you, you do a good job with your little show there. Ah, what the heck? Get yourself a snow cone on me. You earned it. And I'll pay you back for that snow cone after I've been paid for these reports. Checks in the mail, right? I'm meteorologist Cloudy with a Chance for Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan.
Wow, final
weather. Did we budget
weather
out Cloudy's reports?
I
heard the condensation when he said that little show there.
Yeah.
I heard that.
I did hear that. I will say, though, as far as the paycheck, Drew's handling that. So, Cloudy, you can get in touch with Drew. Drew's handling all the budgeting.
He handles the accounting on this show.
Yep, so if you need your paycheck, Drew eventually will get taken care of, sure.
Hang on a second. If it's Cloudy that's doing the reports and I'm in charge, I am Cloudy, so I need to get paid, you know, a little bit.
You're not Cloudy. You're trying to steal his money?
For those that are wondering, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but I will tell you once again, 100%, it is not Cody. It's not me, and it's not Drew.
It's
and
nobody
I don't feel like I've
station.
Seen any correct guesses on the text line.
And also, it is not AI. We've had a few. It is not AI.
It's not AI. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It is a real person. I can 100% say it's a real person, but that's all I'll say. That's it. And, yes, you're right. Not a single person has guessed correctly. People have guessed other people in the building.
People guess Bink.
Nobody's guessed. It's not Bink either, but that's it. And it's not Spec, and I'm done confirming or denying. But that's those are the people it's definitely not.
But it is somebody. It is a real person.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Cloudy with a Chance. Maybe we'll make an appearance for the Monday night Commanders game in October or something, depending on the weather forecast.
Somebody says the single guy at the Taylor Swift might throw up creep vibes. So maybe that wouldn't work. So what, you can't just enjoy a good show?
Yeah.
You're a fan of Taylor Swift, then you're a fan of Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you only throw off creep vibes if you are acting like a creep. Now, in fairness, I'm saying a guy wingman for you, and then you're essentially just like he's approaching women near you. That might put off a creep vibe, in fairness. Man, she puts on another concert in the next couple of years, I'm going to be pushing hard for this.
My guess is with this album, and then I'm assuming she'll have another one in a couple of years, like she'll probably have another tour in the next five.
Yeah, well, that's probably fair. I would guess sooner rather than later, we're probably in that same category. For those who are up at training camp, we are witnessing what appears to be a much lighter practice overall. Patrick Mahomes working now on the opposite side of the field, just going through simple 7-on-7 stuff, working out of backfield passes and stuff like that. It's been a pretty, I mean, health-wise, I don't know that you can be, like, overly offended by the amount of injuries. They've had injuries, like most teams, but nothing that would scare you into, like, they're in deep, deep trouble or they've got real serious things to solve right now. They did bring an extra running back into camp today, but that feels like kind of a
it's because they had two
practice squad
spots.
And they had a couple of roster spots.
When Deion Bush went on IR and some other injuries that they've had. So it opened up that. And remember, these are many, many years ago we would be talking about multiple cutdowns. It's all one now. It's not the same. Did you like that when we had the, like, oh, like, we would have had a cutdown, like, yesterday or something, or today?
I get why the teams would just prefer everybody practice and then do it in one fell swoop. I kind of liked it because it added a little drama. Because for each cutdown, you saw the players, like, in the first cut that, like, never were going to matter.
Yeah.
The second cut, the players who had a chance to matter, but, it, you know, like, a low chance. And then you start getting down to, like, the who's going to be the final cut. Who are these guys on the fringe versus now it's all in one fell swoop. Yeah, I kind of like the small cutdown.
Yeah, so we'll have to wait until after the preseason ends before we get any cut down and things like that. But you're right, it's been a fairly, I don't want to jinx anything, it's been a fairly healthy camp for the Chiefs, and that's, you want it to be quiet in that regard. Can they get through this next preseason game? That, to me, the second one's always the one I get nervous about because your starters will play a little bit more. That's the one where you're a little more exposed. And then you already...
Although, what, a quarter?
You
he's
already,
not playing a half.
No. Andy's probably going to say he's going to play a half, but he'll actually play a quarter.
He'll say three quarters, and it'll be a quarter in the play.
Yeah. Something like that. All right, up next, guys, let's talk a little Royals baseball. J.J. Pecola, Royals general manager, is going to join us. We'll talk about the urgency of the team right now, plus a couple guys that really struggle to stay healthy. That's next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Back here in St. Joe, it's Cody and Gold. Final day of Chiefs training camp practice, at least for us. Tomorrow they've got a shorter practice. It's also Military Appreciation Day. We are expected to have Nate Taylor join us after practice a little bit later on in the 11 o'clock hour. But I want to pivot to the Royals a little bit. Obviously, a big win last night against the Washington Nationals out at Kauffman Stadium. And we welcome in the general manager and the Vice President of Baseball Operations for the Royals, J.J. Pecola, here on 96.5 The Fan. I know from the outside it's easy for us, J.J., to be like, all right, you guys got to win X amount of games during this time frame and all that. I'm sure the players obviously don't look ahead like that, but do you sense the urgency as you guys are headed in this final stretch and obviously recognize where you guys are at in the standings and the wild card chase?
Well, there's urgency in the sense that there's just over 40 games left in the season, so you got to make a move at some point. But at the same time, if we're thinking about what our record is on September 15th and here we are on August 12th, you know, we're probably making a mistake. We got to go night to night, and tonight's the most important game of the season, and tomorrow afternoon will be the most important game of the season, and that's the way we've got to play it out the rest of the year. But you just got to take every day in stride and do the best we can and try to put ourselves in a position to somehow get into this wild card spot.
JJ, you mentioned like the mistake stuff. What would you say is the cause between this year, what seems to be a sloppier baseball team, right? Base running errors or mental mistakes or things I don't feel like we're as accustomed to from the team last year, where it felt like those things were more buttoned up. Because I think about the four games you guys apart in the wild card game, and I feel like I can find those games for you guys and some of those games where, like, the mistakes that don't have to happen. Not, like, you strike out, but just like a mental mistake.
Well, there's no doubt that we've made a lot of mistakes that have really hurt our chances to win a ball game. And, you know, it's no secret our offense has struggled this year. I mean, we've been talking about it all season. And, you know, when you're not necessarily clicking on all cylinders on offense, you better play good defense. You better run the bases well. You got to do all the other things right. Fortunately, our pitching has given us the opportunity to even talk about the playoffs right now. But we do believe the bats will come around. But whether the bats come around or not, or the pitching sustains what it's doing, we cannot make some of the mistakes that we've made over the last, you know, magnified here the last 10 games or so, because it's, you know, really is damaging your chances to win a game. And, you know, we've talked about it with the coaches. And how do you explain it? You know, I know our processes are no different, and I'd say even better than they were last year. Our results haven't been as good. So why is that? And I think what's happening is because there's been some expectations this year, you know, as a team that went through one season in the playoffs, you start putting more pressure on yourself and you're trying to force things. We don't need to force things. We need to play smart baseball. So whether it's a miscue in the field or a missed opportunity on the base paths, you know, we have to eliminate those mistakes, because sound baseball is something that we take a lot of pride in throughout our organization, from the minor leagues on up to the major leagues. And we haven't been as sound this year as we were last year, hence our record. And that's just the way the game works. We can have all the data and information and all the great game planning that goes on, but if you don't play good baseball, you're not going to win. That's the bottom line. It's the major leagues, and you can't make multiple mistakes in a game. Because it's going to cost you. The other team is a talented team as well.
How do you fix it mid-year, I guess, if that makes sense? Like, if it's been something that's plagued you, is there a coaching element? Like, how do you guys go about, like, trying not to put too much pressure on them, obviously, to do that? But, like, how do you hope that those problems get resolved?
Well, they are major league players, and there's a way you have to handle every person, and every guy's a little bit different. You know, some guys you can address it right there in the moment. And other guys, you might have to go to them the next day, but it certainly needs to be addressed, has been addressed. You want guys to learn. And there are some young players on our team, first time up in the major leagues, that, you know, they're making some mistakes they didn't make in high school or college. But when you're in the major leagues and the stakes are high, you know, you may try to force things too much. And then it's just a reminder, hey, it's the same game. You know, it's all relative, whether you're in A ball or the big leagues. It's all relative in the sense that the talent level in A-ball was the talent level in A-ball. The major leagues, that's the major league talent. But the game is the same. Keeping the double play in order, taking an extra base when you have the opportunity to, playing smart baseball when the scoreboard tells you, you know, you need to play smart baseball. There's not a need to be aggressive. They're all discussions that happen every single day with our coaches and our players, and we just got to keep pushing it and pushing it because it has to get better.
We're talking to J.J. Piccolo here on 96.5 The Fan. I want to go back to Sunday and I guess really even yesterday with Bobby Wood Jr. He was back in the lineup. Is it just a back tightness thing that you think he's going to have to deal with the rest of the way? It's just one of those things eventually it's going to require some time off? Or where are you guys at with Bobby Wood Jr., who, of course, last night was back out there making a great play in the field?
Yeah, it was great to see him. I thought he made two really good plays that would have tested his back, and he felt great after the game, so that's a good sign. You know, we've got to keep in mind, this guy plays every game, you know, and he plays it with a different set of skills, which, you know, his body is going to be taxed more than most guys night to night. So I think it's normal that guys are going to go through some soreness. We don't think it's serious in nature, I can tell you that, or he wouldn't have played last night. But after he warmed up yesterday and went through pregame, he said he was much better and ready to play tonight, and we're hopeful that that's how he feels today. But we just have to keep an eye on it, because clearly we need Bobby on the field, and we would not put him in a position to jeopardize a longer term or an IL stint. We would not do that. We'd rather give him the day here and there to try to get him through the season. And like most guys, you know, rest and recovery after the season is the best time to get things healed up. You know, we just have, you know, I think it's 43 games starting tonight. 43 games he's got to get through, and hopefully another handful in October. You know, but he's a pro. He'll help us with it and communicate with us.
While we're talking about health, Hunter Harvey, unfortunately, back on the IL. It feels like he just can't catch a break, you know, since he was acquired by you guys.
Yeah, I feel terrible for him because he's throwing the ball so well. He did it the first 10 days or so of the season, didn't give up a run. He comes back and he's throwing the ball exceptionally well. He was throwing the ball well in the minor leagues. We actually cut his rehab short about a week because he was feeling so good. Hard to explain. You know, he pitched a great inning. Then the next day, on Sunday, Sunday he comes in. He says, my groin's a little tight today. He didn't go to bed with soreness, but he woke up with soreness. Maybe that's a little bit of adrenaline, you know, because he's out there and he's competing and he doesn't feel anything. But the next day it was sore, and then yesterday was not only more sore to him, but visibly sore to our training staff. And we knew we had to put him on the IL. But hopefully we got ahead of it in the sense that it's not anything really serious. And, you know, hope to get him back here by, you know, say, early September.
You guys have added, obviously, a couple more pitchers. What do you guys make of your early returns on Fulter and Burgert? You've gotten two starts now out of each. How have you felt about it?
Well, Fulter, I thought, was better last night. He ran a high pitch count. Obviously, his first game in Boston, you know, wasn't indicative of who he is. And I don't even think last night was. But, you know, he made a couple changes to some pitches yesterday, and he got a really high number, his highest number on the year as far as percentage of swings and misses. Because we, you know, Brian Sweeney and pitching staff made a couple quick changes with him. He bought right into it and he had some success, but really it was more about being in the strike zone and not having that pitch count run up the way it did. That was a situation where you like to try to get a fifth out of him. But where we were in the order, we felt like it was the right time to not go at the top of the lineup a third time through. But it was much better. This start was much better, and we know that he'll settle in. And Burgert, I mean, what can you say? He's been outstanding. I mean, two really, really competitive games for us. I thought what was impressive in Minnesota is he gives up a two-run homer, nine-hole hitter. That's an easy spot to get distracted as a pitcher. You know, it was the eight-hole hitter gets on, then a home run. You could easily, like, lose focus right there, and he didn't. And he stayed in the game. He competed, gave us, you know, five-plus innings, and you couldn't ask anything more out of a starting pitcher. And then when you think about this is his rookie year, it's even more impressive.
When you look at the rest of the injury stuff, Jack Caglione, I know the reporting is that he's going to start a rehab assignment maybe as early as tonight, I guess. Down there in Omaha, how long are you guys looking in Omaha? What are you guys thinking on the rehab stuff? Is it a week? And if he still feels fine, 2 weeks? Just kind of what's the timeline on it?
Yeah, timeline's hard to tell because we don't know how he's going to react. So it's hard to say he's going to be back by this date or that date. I think the big thing is he is playing tonight. He's starting that rehab tonight. I believe he's not scheduled to play tomorrow. And then he'll, from that point on, I think Thursday on, he'll be in the lineup every day. Assuming, you know, everything's feeling good. You know, if he has any soreness, then we have to back off. So that's his timeline's dictated more by how he feels. But I do think it's a great time for him to just kind of reset, take some good at-bats, gain some confidence, and put himself in a position to be called back to the big club, whether it's prior to September 1st or post-September 1. You know, we're just going to see how things are going from his health and also from a timing and rhythm standpoint in the batter's box.
Baseball sorts itself out usually, whether it's injuries, whether it's performance, but whenever that rehab assignment is over and he's good to come back to the big league club, do you envision him being an everyday player again for you guys?
Well, certainly. I mean, whether it's 2025, we know.
Oh, this year, sure.
We know
sure.
In the future,
Yeah.
I mean, the makeup of the club's changed. You know, we have a couple different players since he got injured with Grichuk and Yaz, and those guys are veterans and they're going to be on the field. But there's plenty of ways to get Cags or anybody else. Michael Massey's going to be coming back. There's plenty of ways to get them all in the lineup. You know, with Cags, he can play first, he can DH, he can play right. We have flexibility with all of our outfielders can go over to left field. We'd be a little hesitant to put Cags in left just because he hasn't played there at all. But Massey can play left, he can play second. There's going to be ways to get guys in the lineup, but look, these games mean a lot. Performance is going to be a big dictator of who's in our lineup night to night. This isn't the minor leagues. We're trying to develop guys right now. We're down the home stretch. We've got to win a lot of freaking games, and that's how this thing's got to go. So based on how guys are playing is going to dictate who's in our lineup night to night.
What would you say, like, JJ, this is mostly like a fan sentiment. I don't know that this is – but, like, the idea that people, like, I think this was a complaint of Q, and so then maybe people take it into the player stuff, this, like, idea that this team isn't full, like, has that killer instinct, the way people talk about 14 and 15. Do you, I mean, I'm guessing you would refute that, but what do you think about what is your sense of the team and that instinct and the idea that, like, the competitive drive is high enough to, like, keep pushing this year?
Well, I think the drive is there. I mean, I'm in the clubhouse just about every day, and I can tell you those guys are giving a lot of effort, and they care about what's going on. You know, it's easy to point the World Series teams and say they had this great drive. Yeah, because October was great. But, you know, there were some lulls in 14 and 15 and that we tend to forget because October was so special. We just got to get to October with this club and take care of our business every day. And that October magic, it happens in October. It doesn't happen in October or in August or September. It happens in October. So the point is we got to get there. We were a wild card team in 14 and just got hot as anything, you know, going through the month of October. But the point is you got to get there. So we're not worried about the intensity of this club. Those guys play with passion. They play with fire. You know, personalities are different on this team than maybe any other team that we've had. Every team changes. But the competition, the desire to win, I can promise you, is there in that clubhouse right now.
J.J. Pecola, Royals General Manager, Vice President of Baseball Operations, joins us every couple weeks here on 96.5 The Fan. Appreciate it, and we'll check in down the road.
All right, guys. Sounds good. Thank you.
There you go. That's J.J. Pecola here on Cody and Gold. A couple things there. Let's start with just some of the health things as well. So Caglione, basically, if he responds well, then it can be a shorter stint. That's
but he's
why
not going to be guaranteed
his
spot.
Yep. And I think what we kind of had this discussion yesterday on air. Long term, obviously, he's an everyday player. That's
yes.
how they view him. For now, though, if Yastrzemski's playing well and some other guys are playing well, like, you're going to you have to win. You have to win down the stretch, which is why if they get to September and they're not in it anymore, well, then at that point maybe it's a different approach. But right now when you're four games back of a wild card spot with 43 games to go, yeah, you're going to play who you think can actually help you win that night.
I will say, though, it'll be the easiest decision on the planet if just one of the guys who are hitting or playing near his spots are not playing.
Sure, of course.
If Lofton's cold, if Matt, if you shrimps, it doesn't, Grichik,
yeah.
Like if any of those guys aren't hitting well, then it's not going to be hard for Jack Caglione to do it. And if all of those guys are hitting together all at the same time, well, this team's probably won a lot of baseball games.
Mm-hmm.
And they're only a couple games back of a wild card spot, in which case they might not look to update the apple cart. But because I look at this as just, this year to me is gravy at this point. I don't anticipate them necessarily being a playoff team. I want Jack Caglione in there because I know that it makes their chances of getting a playoff spot next year even more likely. And I still think, for this year, the more likely candidate to drive an offense this year, and this is not a knock on Grichik, but the more likely candidate is just Jack Caglione comes up and gets hot.
So yes, he's the more likely candidate, but as you know,
lower floor, higher ceiling.
The results have to be there, though, they're in this. But I agree with you that I would, if you're asking who has the more upside, even this year, of course.
Yeah.
But if he's struggling still, then he's not helping you win for this year. And then,
sure.
Hey, we'll work on this in the offseason, and hopefully it's a great spring training, and he's our guy in right field, of course, opening day next year. We already know that. He will be the
yes.
right fielder on opening day next year. That's not even a question. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. The other thing on the pitching front with Hunter Harvey, he's just a guy that has, from the minute they acquired him for the Nationals, just has not stayed healthy, body failing you left and right. JJ said maybe September, beginning of September for him. I don't know. There's a chance maybe we don't see him pitch, depending on his recovery. You know, he was overused with Washington. Remember at the time we had a guest on from D.C. the
yep.
day after they acquired him. And he said, hey, look, he's been maybe overworked in Washington.
He's been very good.
But if he's all right, he's very effective. And the Royals took a flyer. And obviously, he's one of those rare pitchers they've acquired, actually, that have not panned out. We know Urseg has been a home run. Obviously, a free agent signing of Carlos Estevez has been a home run. Hunter Harvey's the one guy that just hasn't panned out because of health.
Harvey got the 30 saves? Estevez
yeah,
got
two,
the 30
I need
saves.
More. I need two more. I need two more.
Oh, is that his career high?
Yeah, I believe
two more.
So. Yeah,
he's the sixth Royals pitcher in their yeah. franchise's history to get to 30 saves.
Yeah, I think two more is a career high, which is what we were talking about. We were doing our random predictions at the beginning of the season and everything. I'll be shocked if he doesn't get there. Something terribly went wrong if he doesn't get to 32
yeah,
or 33.
He's most likely
or,
yet.
Yeah, I mean.
Or the team just wins zero games the rest of the way? That doesn't seem likely. The thing about Hunter Harvey.
Not every game's a save.
Like,
yes.
Sometimes people get hurt, and you're just like, they're not performing anyway, so you just kind of let it go. You're like, you know what? They can't perform and they can't get hurt, so it is what it is, right? I don't get, like, overly worked about it. Hunter Harvey has now pitched for this team in 12 outings this year. He has a zero earned run average. He hasn't given up a run. He had 10 scoreless outings before he got hurt. he came back, or 9 scoreless outings. He's now come back, and he's had like 2 or 3 scoreless outings since he's come back. He hasn't even given up a run this year. Yeah, like, the most frustrating thing is, like, it looks like he is a nice addition to the bullpen, a guy who can assist, a guy who can help you win games late, especially because I get it. Like, there are guys in the back end of the bullpen who I think are average major league relievers. Angel Zerpa, John Schreiber, you perceive them as bad because you don't watch everyone's bullpen. They are average major league bullpen guys. But Hunter Harvey, the way he was pitching, he raised that bar a little bit, making it easier to get through those sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth innings where you have a little bit of extra coverage there on that end. And so, like, he actually was helping. And then got hurt again.
Oh, it's a loss. He just has never really been, you know, available more than a couple weeks at a time, seemingly, throughout his short tenure with the Royals. And if you were wondering, yes, his contract is up at the end of the year. We'll worry about that in the offseason. But, you got to have a guy that's available for you.
I mean, not replacing him because he hasn't pitched for you.
Yeah.
I'm not replacing a bullpen arm. He hasn't pitched.
I'm just saying I don't think I'd be interested in bringing him back.
Because, this guy's got to be available. Team friendly as deal.
Guy has to be available at some point. Do you think he can stay healthy moving forward? You heard JJ, though, get a little fired up talking about, when they play certain guys. Like, he said, we got to win a lot of freaking games. There was a tone. There was a change. We have him on every week, so it's every 2 weeks. So we've talked to him enough that, like, you can tell when there's a little more fire behind an answer or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, they recognize, like, they can't say we got to go 10-2 the next 12. Otherwise, they'll drive themselves crazy and they won't be successful.
Well, they know they got to win.
But they obviously know there are 43 games left and you're 4 out of a playoff spot. They've been around baseball long enough. These guys they're well aware of the work that's ahead of them. They do. We went through it. They have to go now, I guess, after last night. What is it? 24-16 or something like that? Or 20, what is it? Yesterday we had the stat. I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me. 28-14 or something like that the rest of the way, I think, to get to 87 wins.
Something
like that. I'm off a game.
They got one game better now because they got the win last night.
Last night, I know it's the Nationals, but it felt massive considering
they gave them the 2-2-run home runs, and you're like, yes. Not again.
It's the Nationals, and the same thing applies. These next 5 games or whatever, they need to go either 5-0 or 4-1 or something. That still applies. Yeah. But boy, oh boy, last night felt like a massive win, considering at one point the Nationals also had a 2-0 lead on you too.
This is the text line talking about Jackson Moore. It says from the 6-2-0. Hot? Seriously, Cody forgot how poorly he was hitting. No, he didn't.
Who are they talking about?
Jack Caglione. Oh. He played 40 games. He can't get hot. He's incapable of, like, getting hot now. Now he's just MJ Melendez. He just relegated to, like, never being able to hit again. This is nuts. Like, I don't think we have to, like, limit ourselves just because we watched 40 games of a guy and decide he can't play. I'm talking about ceiling here. And when we're talking about a team that has to do exactly what you just said based on that win last night, still has to play 100-win season pace over the next 6 weeks, I would take my chances with Jack Caglione, the number 5 prospect in baseball or whatever the hell he was when he got called up, and just assume that he's still capable of hitting. And then he didn't just lose the magic the second he got up to the big leagues and instead got overwhelmed or was in a cold streak or a million other things that could exist that he still could improve on. I have watched, and I know players, and this sounds crazy, have improved before. And it will happen again, Gold. Players aren't always the back of their baseball card after 40 games. So, yeah, I would take a chance. And this goes back to the confidence thing. So, what, he's going to be more confident because he got relegated to the minor leagues for the rest of it and then start with the big leagues the year before? Why is that going to make him more confident?
Oh, look,
he's hit pretty well in the minors before he came up. Probably pretty confident when he was in AAA before.
Yeah, you don't have to convince me on the minor leagues. I don't get anybody suggesting that he should just stay in AAA the rest of the way. We know he can hit AAA pitching. That does nothing for him. And yeah, the confidence thing, he was confident when he got called up. And so I'm with you there. The idea that he, once the rehab portion assignment is done, that he should just stay down there makes zero sense to me.
None to me.
Go ahead, Drew. Sorry.
No, you're good. Isn't this the same thing? Like, what you're talking about, Cody, is the same thing that I think about the team, is that Jack can come back and he can just get going. Soak in the team. And we saw a little bit of it last night. Who's to say they can't do anything? Like, for this person, this is probably one of the people who says, you know, the season's over, and if you think that way, don't watch any more of the Rose games.
Yeah, now look,
believe it. Cody and I,
yeah, like Cody and I think we agree for the most part. I differ with him only on the, look, if other guys are playing well, Jack Caglione has to perform immediately, because in 2025, you now have 40-something. By the time he comes back, they're probably going to have like 30 games left.
Yeah.
And you have to have results immediately. Bigger picture, I'm 100% with you that he gives them the best chance to win, but he's in a position when he gets called back up, he almost has to hit right away, though. I can't wait a week for him to get going, Cody's all
just,
I'm saying.
But if there's just – if it's just Randall Grichuk hitting 232 with a 305
right.
on base, I don't care.
But if
then I'd rather just have Jack Caglione.
That's what I'm saying. If there's other guys that are hitting, I'm with you. If Yastrzemski and Grichuk are on a nice little stretch, then I'm not taking them out of the lineup for him right now in 2025. But, yes, if Grichuk is in the middle of a 2-for-10 stretch or 2-for-12, well, then, yeah, I'm good. I'm with you. You know, I think we agree. It's just the results almost have to be more immediate because of the dire situation you're in with how many games
are left. Yeah, or he might
not
get in the next day. He might be more of a platoon player when he first gets called up versus he plays 7 out of 7 days.
We are up in St. Joe. We're going to get back to some football coming up on the other side here. Our Camp Darling Island returns, and our coverage from St. Joe is brought to you by Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you. So Camp Darling Island plus what Bill Simmons had to say about the top-tier quarterbacks in the league.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.